I remember I was working at the telephone company that time, and I remember being called by Andrew McKenzie.
You are?
Asked if I would join Peter Orszag to come up and start meetings right away. I had no idea who this man was, what was going on, and I would work all day and pick Peter up, and he was getting quite sick at that time with cancer, and he'd lay in the back of the car seat. And he would talk to me while he laid in the back seat as we drove up an hour, almost and a half, to Springfield West. And I remember you sitting right back there. He couldn't get any further, any closer to the back wall. And anyways, found out that he was interested, but it's nice to hear the whole story. So praise the Lord. Salvation is very real. You don't have to be a big, bad sinner to become a Christian. Because whether you're a little sinner or a big sinner, it all ends in the same place, a real place called hell. But the Savior is real. Let's go to John 19, the Gospel of John, chapter 19. I've got just a few different passages to read. And really what the theme is it's all about a day, a certain day. And they're kind of, if you were to draw my message on a piece of paper, it's like a big day, and the days keep getting smaller, down to a point. So that's what we're going to look at. So John 19, it's all about the Lord Jesus. And look at verse number 28. Our minds have already been brought there to the crucifixion. John 19, verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that means salvation is complete, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. What words? And he bowed his head. Notice that. He bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Dismissed his spirit simply means that he died. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And as a result of the death of the Lord Jesus, and now we're going to look at the resurrection, there's something that happens. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 2. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee or helped thee. Now, that is sounds very complicated, but just to keep it simple, that is a quotation from Isaiah 49 in the Old Testament. And if you were to go back into Isaiah 49, you would discover that it's speaking about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus, after he died, he went into death. And then the Lord God took him out of death. Now, what's going to be the result of that? Look at the very next statement. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. If the Lord Jesus was still dead tonight, there would be no day of salvation. It would be useless for you and I to be here tonight listening to the Word of God. But as a result of a living Savior, literally God has thrown his arms out to a world. Now is the day of salvation. That's tremendous. And you start to understand just what's going on here. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2, near the end of the Bible. 1 Peter chapter 2. You're going to see that these things follow one upon another. 1 Peter chapter 2, just near the end of our 1 Peter, 2 Peter, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, Jude, Revelation. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. And look at verse 11. Now, Peter is writing to Christians, believers. And just, it's interesting what he says. Shows us the grace of God. Dearly beloved,
Verse 11. I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, basically sin of this world. Verse number 12. Having your conversation, your behavior, honest among the Gentiles. Now listen to what the Gentiles are doing to these Christians. That whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, now here's the phrase I want, glorify God in the day of visitation. I want you to think of that phrase, the day of visitation. Keep that in mind. We'll come back to it. Luke 19, back to the Gospel of Luke. Luke 19, Matthew, Mark, and then comes Luke. This is a story of Zacchaeus. We're not going to take time to read the whole story, but he's a man that was just like Kevin. He was in the darkness. He wanted to get out. He wanted to find out who Jesus was. The Lord Jesus was going to meet him. And I want you to notice what happened as a result of their coming together. Look at verse number 9. He receives the Lord Jesus as his Savior. Verse 9 of Luke 19. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. For so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. So I want you to think of the phrase, this day, salvation came right into this man's house. What a miracle. Just like what our brother has been telling us. And I can tell you of a day when that happened to me. Finally, Acts chapter 17. And my brother has been referencing this a lot. Acts 17. I preached this whole story last week, but I just want to come back and pick up one little piece of it. Acts 17, verse number 30. We'll just pick up the latter part of the sentence of the verse. But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because, here's the reason, he, that's God, hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, appointed, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. So we're looking at different days. There's a lot that can happen in a day, right? We all know that. What made me think about this was 4 weeks ago, tomorrow, Monday, my wife's mother passed away. She was 95. She was a Christian. Thank God for that. But the Sunday night, just like Sunday night tonight, which we always did, we would stop in and visit her before we went to meeting. And you expect someone to die at 95, right? That's just common sense. But you never go with the thinking, that's the last time we'll see her. You just don't think that way. And it was a very nice scene. Wilma was talking to her mother, a little bit of laughter, and blah, blah, love you, Mom, blah, 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 blah. And we went to meeting, and we came home, and then we got the call, 8:45 Monday morning. Found your mother dead. It does kind of stop you for a minute, and I just saw her last night. She's gone? And you know, it takes a while for that to process through your brain. You just can't go and visit her anymore. So the death of someone is very significant, isn't it? I think there's people here that have experienced that. Listen. There was never a day like the day when the Lord Jesus Christ died. There was not a day like it on the face of the earth. There will never be a day like it on the face of the earth. It was the most looked forward day. You can start in Genesis chapter 1 and you can read all the way through the Old Testament.
And for thousands of years, the prophets were looking forward to this tremendous day. It wasn't a mystery to God. It wasn't a surprise to God. To us, death is a surprise. To us, death is a shock. It's something that we have to acclimatize to and sort of try to deal with and put it out of our minds. But not with God. So unique. Never was there a man that walked upon the face of this earth like the Lord Jesus. Absolutely free of sin. No reason why he should die. Absolutely none whatsoever. And here is the Lord Jesus, the creator of the universe and the upholder of everything.
And he allows a man by the name of Pilate,
who was given authority from the emperor of the Roman Empire to look at somebody and pass death. Take him out and crucify him. That was authority that was given to Pilate. And Pilate stood this monumental day. Little did Pilate understand, Pilate, this day has been prophesied for thousands of years, man. This day has been pictured in the Old Testament. Every animal that was placed upon the sacrifice and the fire consumed, it pointed forward to this day. And Pilate probably thought, ha-ha, I'm going to express my authority.
You're just a puppet on a string, man. God is controlling you.
And when you open your mouth and look at God's son, to you, he looks just like a man. Take him out. Crucify him. Everything in the Old Testament, just yes. This is it. See, this is how God's going to deal with sin. Pilate didn't know that. And there's the Lord Jesus as he willingly goes out. He willingly allows a puny man to pass the sentence of death upon him. My dear, what grace. What amazing grace. And we read that lovely expression. I could have read it in chapter 19 of John. Jesus bearing his cross went forth. Oh, it was an awful thing back then. The Romans purposely condemned you in the midst of the city. And they purposely put crucifixion outside the city walls. Do you know why they did that? Rome ruled by power and might. And Rome wanted everybody to know, we will demonstrate to you what happens if you cross us. When we put you to death, we want to strike fear into every person. And they would take the top section of that crossbeam and they would bring it into the city. And as soon as that person was condemned, they would make them hold on to it. And they would make them drag it through the city. And everybody would line the streets and they would start to wail because they knew. We have an expression today. Do you know what they call people who are on death row? And they make the final journey to where they're going to be executed. They have an expression, dead man walking. That man's as good as death, dead. And when the citizens of the city saw that top member of the cross being dragged by the individual out, that man's not returning. He's walking to his death.
And the Lord Jesus willingly did it.
He wasn't fighting it. He understood, this is why I came into the world. This is it. On the cross, when everything, everything that God needed to take away your sin, my sin, everything to guarantee us a home in heaven, the Lord Jesus, his mind is scanning all of the Old Testament, everything. God, do you need anything else done? Nothing. All the judgment has fallen. You know what we read in the Word of God? He just before he dies, he says, it is finished. Do those words mean anything to you, friend? Like, if you were looking for a way out, as we've been hearing, if you were under the weight of your sin, if you were wanting to have peace with God, listen to what God wants you to hear. When his son, just before he died, you know what he wants you to hear? It's finished. The work to take you to heaven is finished. All you got to do is believe it. Accept it. Take it to be yours. And you know what the Bible says? It is finished. He bowed his head and dismissed his spirit. Now listen, this is what we think of bowing. We think of this. He bowed his head. But you do a little study on that word. You know, the Lord Jesus used this same word in a little different form. One day he mentioned to people that were following him, and he says, the birds of the air have nests. We understand all that. Listen to what he said. The Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. That's the word. I'll give you an example. This is the natural way a head goes when life goes, because you've lost control. The Lord Jesus controlled his own death. And you know what he did? He purposely laid his head in complete control. It's beautiful. What power! And he laid his head. And no one has ever done this. This is not suicide. You still don't have any control. It's the bullet's going to take your life. Or whatever it might be. The Lord Jesus then took his soul and spirit and he just flung it from him. That never happened before. That was in total control. That was after he bowed his head. Tremendous. That's why this day is so important. And now the Lord Jesus is taken off the cross and he buried in the ground for 3 days. And all of a sudden they come Sunday morning and the tomb is empty. And there's where my second passage comes to play. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. As a result, I want you to get this, dear friend, tonight. As a result, here in O'Leary, PEI, 2,000 years beyond Calvary, there is a real living Savior. And he can save you. You know why? Because as a result of the resurrection of Christ, right now is the day of salvation. It's a day. We don't know how long it's going to last. It's not just a 24-hour day. When you're in the Bible, whenever you have the word day by itself, it's looking at a period of time. Sometimes you'll get day with a number. Then it's looking right at the 24-hour day. And so on. There's all different things you can look at in the Bible. But the day of salvation is extended. This story started way over in the Middle East, in a place called Israel. And to think that it made it across the Atlantic. And it fell upon the shores of Prince Edward Island. And here was a helpless man lost in his sins. Brought up, he didn't know these things. All of a sudden, God allowed him to hear and to get a Bible in his hand. And we found out the result. The man's going to be in heaven when he dies. Friend, what about you? If you were to die tonight, would you be in heaven? Or would you be in hell? The difference, do you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior? That's it. I'm not interested where you go to church on Sunday. I don't care if you go nowhere or everywhere. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I don't care if you have 500 Bibles in your house. That doesn't matter. I don't care if you can quote every verse from Genesis chapter 1 to Revelation 22. It doesn't matter. What matters? Do you have a time in your life, like we just heard, where you started to understand from the Bible, I'm in trouble with God. wow, I have sin. Wow, there's a record being kept of my sin. I've got to face that. That's my next story, Zacchaeus. Man, here was this man. I don't think this man knew a whole lot, but he was seeking to see Jesus, who he was. That was his desire. Always remember this, dear friend. If you want to find God, he wants to find you. The marvelous thing. My brother a number of times said, if you want to find answers, you go to the Bible. You know, there's all kinds of books you can read. I'll tell you something I learned from the Word of God, the Bible, the lovely story that's in Acts chapter 8. There's a man from Ethiopia, and he's reading the Bible. And guess what? The author of the Bible knew it. That's quite a book. You could go to the bookstore there, and you could buy William Shakespeare. You could buy all these old writers. Not one of them will know you're reading it when you read it. They're all dead. But behind the Bible is the living God. And here's a man in the desert reading the Word of God, and the God of heaven noticed, and the God of heaven caused a preacher called Philip to come all the way down to meet him. Oh, friend, God's interested in you. God's not out to cause your life to be full of misery. God wants to take away your sin. He wants to take away the weight of your sin, the guilt, the burden of it all. He wants to give you a home in heaven. Marvelous. And here's this man, Zacchaeus. And what a wonderful thing when he met the Savior and he received him. And guess what the expression is? This day is salvation come to this house. You want to know another thing? I need to move quick. Do you want to know another thing you'll find in the Bible? God never intends to save just one person in a house. He wants the whole house. God not only wants you to be saved, he wants to see all your family members saved, all your aunts and uncles saved, uncle, everything. God's not into doing small little things. No. Isn't it wonderful that the salvation that God is offering every single sinner in this meeting tonight, in this town, on this island, could all be saved in one moment of time? That's the God of the Bible. And here's this day, this day. I remember the day. You told me the time, eh? It was after midnight, 12:22. I see, I pay attention. He called me young tonight too. I'm 16 February, so thank you for the comment. But the old brain is not full of, it's not fully mushroomed yet, or a marshmallow. But anyways, 12:22. Boys, I remember a Wednesday afternoon, April the 4th, 3:30 in the afternoon. It was the first time in my life that I told God he was right and I was wrong. And you know what I saw? Jesus died for my sins. I was all by myself. I wasn't in a meeting like this. I can relate. I remember just the instant relief of, I'll never be in hell. I'm not even thinking about my sins anymore. Why would I? He bore them. He took them all away. Oh, friend, it's a marvelous thing to be saved. Marvelous. Why did I read in Peter? Here are Christians that are being persecuted because they're different. That's not easy to take. And you know what God does in 1 Peter chapter 2? He says, listen, Christian, don't retaliate. Take it. Why, God? Because I'm going to visit them in a day of salvation. And when I do, they're going to be so impressed by your behavior. Listen to what the Bible says. They will glorify me in the day of visitation. Can you understand a God like that? You would think... When you read the Bible, you know what you'll find out? Every Christian is a child that belongs to God. Now, if my neighbor came over and started to pick on one of my children, I'm going to get very angry. And I'm definitely not going to pray for them. I'm going to pummel them. That's what's in my heart. Because that's what they deserve. You're hurting one of my children. God looks at sinners that persecute his children in this day of grace, day of visitation, day of salvation. And God says, I will give you an opportunity to be saved. Boys, I don't understand that. That shows you a side of God that I'm unable to explain. God is so gracious. Do you know what that leads to? If you choose to neglect God, I don't want your salvation. I just don't want it. Listen to Acts 17. There's coming a day of judgment. And you will not miss it. I go to my Bible, and you know what the Word of God tells me when I read about the great white throne? It says hell and death. They just simply delivered up the dead. No hiding. It might be years after you have died, your soul and spirit is in hell. God will actually bring back together the very body that you sinned in. And he'll put the soul and spirit back in it. And the complete you, every part of you, will stand in the light of a God that will judge you. It's not because you didn't have an opportunity. Oh, no, God will show you that. I tried to reach you. I tried to stop you from going to hell, but you wouldn't listen. You wouldn't listen. Dear friend, please listen to the Word of God. The Lord Jesus is trying to find you. Let him find you. Turn from your sin and put your faith in the Lord Jesus. Thanks for listening. Father, we bow our heads and we return thanks to thee for thy Son, the Lord Jesus. We know that we are undeserving of anything, none of thy kindness, but thou art a very gracious God, and we're thankful for that. We deserve judgment from thee. We understand that. We're born dark. We're born in our sins. We're born with rebellion against thee and hatred toward thee, and yet thou art so kind, so gentle in speaking to us. Pray for those in the meeting that are not saved. They've not yet had that day of visitation. They've not had that day when salvation has come into their heart. Help them, Father, to understand how helpless they are and in need of thee. And give help as we sing this final hymn that someone might accept the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior. Take us safely home over the roads, we ask, in the Savior's name. Amen.